I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space if you're an independent thinker out there, beholden to no party, no politicians. We don't fall in love here. You realize there's no political solution. We just talk about stories from the ground up. This is, I guess this is impeachment week. Is that right? To be honest with you, I didn't even really see any headlines about it today, but isn't this supposed to be the day we kick off the political theater of impeachment? And barring anything interesting coming out of it, I couldn't care less. As an aside, I couldn't care less. I'm not trying to be a grammar Nazi here or anything, but so many people say, I could care less. Well, if you could care less, it means you care. If you really want to show that you don't care about something, you say, I couldn't care less. And I couldn't care much less about the impeachment hearings. It is political theater. It's obviously ridiculous. But you have to understand the source you're getting this from. I think just about every president since World War II should have been tried and convicted of war crimes. A lot of people will think that's unpatriotic, un-American. No, no. Haven't you realized by now that your government is lost? The government has nothing to do with the United States, with the people of the United States, with the greatness of the United States. The government is actually the thing holding us back. It's the corrupt force that we really need to get rid of. And endless streams of presidents, up to and including Donald Trump, particularly in Yemen, and stealing the oil in Syria. I believe most American presidents since World War II have been guilty of invading and murdering citizens of other countries that have done nothing to us, always under some guise of national security or something like that. So wake me up when the tribunals start and the presidents start actually getting arrested for this mass murders. But the impeachment impresses me none. I'll spend more time today talking about the Super Bowl yesterday, or what should be come to known as the longest day of virtue signaling of the year. Holy cow. I was not really that interested in the game. I mean, you know, I like to watch a football game. Can we watch the NFL now? I felt like maybe, could you watch Brady because he was a Trump supporter? Anyway, I watched it kind of clicking around yesterday. One of the first things that struck me, I mean, the whole day was about race and the pandemic, the war fighters. It was just an entire day of virtue signaling. I kept clicking around and I would see another thing about race in the NFL, which is just very interesting to me. Something that is obviously dominated by black players making millions and millions of dollars seems like the least credible source for inequality, speaking up about inequality constantly. But there was that. There was the 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers that were able to go to the game. I saw they had the cutouts of people in the stands. People paid, my understanding. I don't know how many of them were paid and how many of them were just in there. People paid $100 to have their cutout sit in the stands of the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? Small businesses across the country suffering, you're going to pay $100 to get a cutout put in the stands? I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. There were the masked NPC dancers last night during the halftime show, which I found fairly boring, as I would think I was on the phone for part of it, kind of watched it. Until a couple of weeks ago, I thought The Weeknd was a band. I didn't know it was a single human being, so I'm definitely out of touch with that stuff. But the dancers in the mask, it just struck me as the non-player character, the NPC meme, that whited out, masked up face. And I thought, well, that's, you know, I think it's probably pretty appropriate. Those dancers seem to represent how our rulers think of us, just faceless, masked masses that simply serve as background workers for the show that they put on. There was one commercial. I paid attention to some of the commercials. I'm going to play with the one controversial one now, at least the one I saw stirred up some controversy. But at the very beginning of the game, I saw a YouTube commercial. It was "We Are One." Did you see this thing? This came from the masters of the universe at Google and YouTube. "We are all one." There was a lot of this kind of virtue signaling in a lot of the ads. But for YouTube to put out a commercial that "we are all one," and I don't know. There's, you know, sometimes with these commercials, there's some little small print at the bottom. I don't know if I didn't see that. But they should have had some little small print on there. "We are all one." Well, unless you disagree with us, then you're just a subhuman disinformation agent and you need to be silenced. I mean, for YouTube, with the massive amount of censorship that they have done in their platforms, everything from doctors who have been practicing for 30 years that might talk about hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, to people who believe that the election was rigged, I mean, anything. "We are all one as long as you all think as one. If you are an outlier and a free thinker, then you are not welcome on YouTube should you challenge any of their narratives." I thought that was one of the worst ones, and that kind of kicked off the game. This was the controversial ad by a company called Cure Life Insurance. So they're getting a free plug here and probably across the country right now if people found this to be wildly offensive. The Twitter, I'll talk about the Twitter reaction to this in just a second, but this was Cure Insurance. This was their Super Bowl spot they took a lot of heat for.
"Davis, Tommy just brought me into his office and whipped out his opinion."
"Tommy?
I didn't just whip it out. She was into it. Plus, I have a pretty big opinion."
"Oh, please, it's not that big."
"She only gave me a second."
"Tommy, not everyone in this office wants your opinion."
"Okay, well, how about you? Last week at happy hour when you begged me for my opinion."
"I had a pitcher of margaritas. I would have taken Doug's opinion."
"You would?"
"No."
We can't protect your opinion, but we can protect your car. Cure Auto Insurance. See?
Oh, dear. They poked fun at workplace harassment. I mean, I got to tell you, I can't live in this wussy society we live in. I don't, well, at least I don't know how to operate. I can live in it. I just basically kind of choose to ignore it. I was watching, I also tuned into, and look, I do these things not out of entertainment, just as kind of, I don't kind of see where we stand. I'll click around. I'm watching some of the shows on race or pandemic or any of these things around the Super Bowl, watching these commercials. I'm really just trying to get a feel for the temperature. We live in such a soft society now. It is absolutely stunning to me. I watched the opening of Saturday Night Live. I'll do this about every 6 months to see if something happened and they are suddenly funny again. You know, you never know. It's happened before. They've gotten chronically unfunny for a few seasons, and then they bring in a couple of new stars and things kick off again. But they are on their longest losing streak as far as I can tell. But Saturday Night Live that I grew up with, you know, it started in the late 70s through the 80s, early 90s is probably when I was paying attention to it most when I was a young adult. You're talking about Chris Rock and Chris Farley and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, Eddie Murphy. Saturday Night Live was very irreverent, right? It was very non-politically correct. They were kind of like the bad boys of comedy to a degree. They were the rebel class clown that would get in trouble in class. They've become the hall monitors. Saturday Night Live now is all about obeying all of the rules set forth. The mask rules. They've made a very big deal about the masks and social distancing. You know, they did remote Saturday Night Live things. The world that I would prefer to be in, even if I found their humor objectionable or not funny, but if it was challenging things, if it was, I don't know if the term is obnoxious or not. I've got a pretty broad sense of humor. But it is this marshmallow world that we have become, where everything is so hypersensitized. This Cure Auto ad, the story that I saw it in, had a stream of Twitter users that were criticizing this ad. You know, all the kinds of
Karen hysteria. Oh, I guess we're making fun of worse workplace harassment now. Because they can't take a joke. The left, and I've said it for a couple of years now, the saddest thing about the left, there's so many good left-leaning comedians, or there were, and they've all lost their sense of humor, particularly during the age of Trump. So there are a bunch of Karens wringing their hands against an offensive ad, to which I say, well, then I guess you don't have to buy their insurance. I mean, but whatever. But I was looking through this Twitter reactions to this insurance ad, and most all of them were using particularly the F word, which is a sexually charged word. I mean, that's where it comes from, right? I mean, it's used to express anger. It's become more than just that thing, but it was just interesting to everybody's very they're happy to throw out some of the most aggressive curse words in their Twitter feed, but oh, heaven forbid you make fun of something in the hypervigilance we have in the workplace now over workplace harassment. And it just strikes me, I'm not wired for this new wussy society, and I'm really surprised so many people are, because I'm no big tough guy. But we have become so soft as a society, a first world nation. And the thing is, this is going to change. Right now, we're searching for microaggressions, right? If a man tells a woman her hair looks nice, he's in HR by that afternoon and probably boxing up his stuff by that evening. We're looking for microaggressions in our society. I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, and we're both really kind of wondering how this country is going to handle a real economic crisis. And I'm not talking about the 2008 crisis. I'm talking about a dollar crisis, really hard times, kind of Russia stuff. I don't know. I've never been to Russia. Really like to go. But I would imagine Russians are hard. They are hard people. They've been through a lot. They've lived through it. I don't know if they're over there searching for microaggressions or not, but I would imagine that is not the case. And if it takes a crisis to toughen us up a little bit, then maybe it's something that's necessary. I also found myself with the Super Bowl just wondering, how many football players at the collegiate and the professional level died this past year from coronavirus? It has to have been scores of them, right? I mean, they've gone through entire seasons. Now, with college, some of them only played 5 or 6 games, but they've been on the buses together. They've been in the locker rooms together. They've been training together. They've been in meetings together. And if this pandemic is as deadly to all of us as we've been led to believe, then I would just like to see the count. How many NFL players died this year from coronavirus? How many college players, football players died? They're in awfully close quarters. I don't know if you've watched the offensive line go after the defensive line. They're kind of close, huffing and puffing on each other. And the funny thing is, in watching these sporting events, there's two narratives that really should be broken to smithereens just watching football games. Number one, the race issue. When you watch a football game, you watch white guys and black guys. Some from wealthy backgrounds, some from poor backgrounds. And in the case of Tom Brady, some of them are old, playing with the young. And yet they all band together with no big controversy to accomplish a single goal. Each one of them challenging the other ones to be better, but not judging each other on the color of their skin. And at the end of the game, the white players and the black players hug. This is what normal society is like without the race pimps and the race hustlers. If they would leave us alone, that's what our society would look like. And then the other thing is, how do NFL teams, how do college teams make it through an entire season during this, air quotes here in the studio, deadly pandemic, and with everything that they do in very, very, very close quarters, yelling, huffing and puffing on each other, smashing into each other's face, attending meetings, being on buses together, in locker rooms and in training rooms, huffing and puffing as they lift weights. How is it possible that they all survived this deadly pandemic? It almost seems like if the rest of society were able to operate as a college football team or a professional football team, maybe we could have just kept our regular lives intact this whole time. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Got a little long-winded in my opening segment. Didn't even get to my quotes of the day today. I'm just tired of the softness of people. We can't run a country. you cannot run the most powerful country on planet Earth with a bunch of wimps. You just can't do it. And that's what I see. We've just become such a soft society. Always looking to be offended or find something to complain about. My quotes of the day today, I love this one. This is Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, "Every actual state is corrupt. Good men must not obey the laws too well." I wonder how many people are on board with that now, but 4 years ago, if I had read that clip, as a libertarian, I believe that to be true and did 4 years ago too, and probably said things similar. A lot of people probably in the law and order crowd say, no. If a bunch of people better than us called politicians get together and pass a law, you must obey it. And now we're seeing laws like face mask fines and business closures. Goodness knows what's going to come out of a Biden-Harris administration. Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson told us, good men must not obey the laws too well. Yeah, law and order is not quite everything that you thought it was, did you? And then this is my favorite quote of the day today from the great, great Ron Paul. Man, we had a chance to elect this guy president of the United States. You know, Ron Paul was attracting crowds 8 years before Donald Trump did, 4 years before Bernie Sanders did, or really 8 years, I guess, before Bernie Sanders did. Ron Paul was. And so I saw the machine, you know, just the same way they crushed Bernie Sanders. They messed up and let Donald Trump through. Couldn't ignore him because he was such good TV for him, but Ron Paul was leading a movement back in 2008 as a libertarian Republican. And just think about this. Imagine that this man, with this quote I'm about to give you, had been president of the United States for the past year. If he had been elected in 2016, he wasn't running. Last time he ran was in 2012. But this is the kind of president I could get behind here. He says, "Americans should pause and reflect on the lies they are being told. Masks are just a form of psychological manipulation. Many reputable physicians and scientists have said they are worthless and potentially harmful. Lockdowns are meant to condition people to obey without question. A nation of people who do just what they are told by the, quote, experts, unquote, without question, is a nation ripe for a descent into total tyranny." Imagine that man had ever been elected president. But no, they told you he was crazy and had no chance to win, as they normally do. I saw Thomas Dobbs, you know, there's a lot of talk around the Super Bowl about the super spreader events. And I've seen a couple of things of Thomas Dobbs, some of the things that have shown up on the news. He doesn't want us to get too excited about COVID cases going down and hospitalizations going down. I don't have a clip of it. I probably should have found it. He said something along the lines of, "Can't we just calm down and keep it up for a couple more months?" Yeah, he doesn't want us letting our guard down. That's the real mental trick of coronavirus, is that, you know, when it's bad, you've got to do a whole bunch of things and we're all in trouble because we didn't do good enough before and it's all our fault it's bad. And then when it's good, it's, yeah, you dumb people, you got to keep doing it. We need to do more. Now is not the time to let up. I mean, I don't know exactly what he's waiting for. And then there was news that I heard this morning that it was reported that he said, "Well, the cases are going down and the deaths are going down, but we're still higher than the summer peak, so don't get too excited." Now, I'm no doctor, but aren't hospitalizations, particularly for respiratory diseases, always higher in the winter time? So why would you expect a winter hospitalizations and cases of anything, flu, any respiratory virus, to be lower than they were in the summertime? Again, another, it's just another thing. We're so soft. We are so soft as a society. And Thomas Dobbs is leading the charge on the hysterical overreaction to coronavirus here in Mississippi and making sure that we stay nice and soft and do what we're told, because illness is just not accepted. I've got a couple of other things on coronavirus. There's proposals out there right now. Really, there's a lot of a really, really sad tweet chain by a young female pregnant doctor that I'm going to report on. I mean, it just heartbreaking stuff. But Roger Wicker's proposing something. The Democrats are proposing something. Lots of proposals that are going around, essentially asking our children for big loans to get us out of what these same politicians got us into in the first place. I'll be right back. Oh, no!
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I've talked a lot about Harry Brown, former Libertarian president's quote, where he says, essentially paraphrasing, the government's very good at breaking your leg and then offering you a crutch and then telling you, you know, you couldn't get by without us. And we're just seeing that absolutely everywhere. The Democrats are proposing, $3,000 per child. I think that's under age six. It's $3,600 per child for a year. I think this is paid out as a little monthly check or universal basic income, essentially. This is their statement on it. The pandemic is driving families deeper and deeper into poverty, and it's devastating. We are making the child tax credit more generous, more accessible, and by paying it out monthly, this money is going to be the difference in a roof over someone's head or food on the table. That's what said Richard Neal, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Now, if you see these stories, I take such exception to the very beginning of that statement. Quote, the pandemic is driving families deeper and deeper into poverty, and it's devastating. No, absolutely not. The pandemic hasn't done any of these things. China didn't do these things, to those of you out there that are hankering for a war with China over coronavirus. It's not the pandemic that has driven families deeper and deeper into poverty. It's not the pandemic that's devastating. It's these same politicians' reaction, rules, regulations, and crushing of people's freedoms to just do business and go to work that has driven people deeper and deeper into poverty. But this is how it's couched. And Roger Wicker is on the right side. I say that politically on the right, not that he's correct. Roger Wicker is proposing $160 billion for small restaurants. What a hero! He's going to take money from other businesses and hand it over to restaurateurs. Now, I'm a huge fan of the restaurant business, been fighting for their right to serve as many people anytime they want to since this pandemic started. I was absolutely stunned that it became illegal to operate your business as you saw fit. For voluntary people that want to come in, if you're scared of coronavirus, keep your butt at home. If you're vulnerable to this thing, do the best you can to fix your health, but just wait it out. That's unfortunate fact of life. I'm on the radio and not on the NBA because an unfortunate fact of life is I'm vertically challenged. But for the fact that these politicians, you know, for Roger Rickard to now take a, and I saw this on a story on the local news, and this is being treated as something heroic. Now, look, I have tremendous sympathy for the restaurant business. I did 14 years in it. I have been in tears over what they have done to the restaurant business here. I cheer for all the small businesses. But I come at it from the idea that none of these small businesses wanted a bailout. They didn't want to go through this, and it wasn't necessary. Again, I ask, how many college and professional football players died during the course of their seasons recently? Seems like they were able to get through it unscathed. Every now and then, a couple players had to sit out for a week because they were feeling a little sick. But they seemed to make it through. That could have been the way for the entire society. But Roger Wicker will position himself as a hero from stealing either from future generations to give to this little chunk of businesses. Now they'll also bail out the airlines and they'll bail out the farmers and they'll bail out, you know, they'll bail out everybody. Then and they'll couch themselves as some level of a hero because that's the chicken way to do it. As I say, we've become such a soft society. And all of these politicians, left, right, middle, mayors, governors, national politicians, they're either too chicken or too stupid to just stand up for Americans' freedom. They just sit back and let our rights be stripped away. Roger Wicker's done nothing about it. He's just allowed restaurants to be forced at the point of a gun to shut their doors, to only have 25% seating, to go through all of these hoops. Instead of defending their freedoms and allowing them to operate so they aren't in the hole that they're in right now, he just sits back and allows that to happen. And then comes out like Santa Claus saying, well, I'm for the restaurants. These small businesses have been hurt. Well, why didn't you stop them from being hurt? And for whatever they can't steal from either other business. I mean, law firms right now are going to be bailing out. It's the same, you know, a law firm that did fine is going to end up bailing out restaurants. It's the same with all of these things. You have to take it from one person to give it to other people. Roger Wicker doesn't have $160 billion laying around the couch cushions that he's worked really hard for his entire life, and he's willing to just part with it. It sickens me to see these people treated like heroes. I feel bad for the restaurant business, too. But if Roger Wicker was really interested in helping small businesses, he would have fought tooth and nail to understand Americans have the freedom to operate their business as they see fit. No asterisks for a virus. None. And as people watch this thing come, if the virus was really serious, was killing just a ton of people, you know what? These businesses would have had some problems then. Because people might not have shown up, but a lot of people would. They still would have done better than they've done now. And the fact that the American people are either too stupid or too lazy to stop the abuses of these small businesses by politicians. We just stand by and allow these control freaks running the show to destroy people's lives. And then we cheer them. Oh, look at that. They're coming to the rescue. With what? With what? Where's this money coming from? Oh, they don't have it. They can print it up, and that'll show up in the grocery bills and the gasoline bills and every other bill you have when the inflation hits, and it's coming. It's already here in many areas, but it's coming, and it's coming big. And I want you to remember all of the politicians. I mean, the Democrats, $3,000 for every child. They're just going to start sending out little checks of universal basic income, essentially. Are the Democrats heroes because they're going to send everybody $3,000? Doesn't even matter if you were hurt by the pandemic. They just know that the country that they have been running for so long, so poorly, is devastating. Everybody from the middle class down, and I've got some charts and stuff on that. I'm going to try to explain in just a little bit. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing. I saw that Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they've come out with that. They're asking for an approval there, too, another emergency use approval. They call it another miracle. Another miracle's on the way. It's 65% effective, which is odd because vitamin D seems to be 82% effective against hospitalizations. But they don't call that a miracle. And it's $5 a month and has a bunch of very, very positive side effects. It actually is a miracle. When you look at things like vitamin D, that God has given us this body that actually takes the sunlight, increases the vitamin D in our system, and helps us fight disease. That, my friends, is a miracle. It is not some 65% vaccine that a company will make billions of dollars handing out. And here are some of those knock-on effects. I mean, you know, again, this is to the Roger Wickers out there. Because it's nothing against him. Maybe the nicest guy in the world. It's this political class that thinks they can sit by and watch Americans' rights be stripped from them, just destroy the small business community by dictate, and then come in like they're riding in on a white horse and just doling out money that they don't even have. This story is on Yahoo today. Is Thomas Dobbs listening? Anybody listening? But Mike, look at all the deaths. 400,000 deaths. Well, I question that number, but even by your statistics, what are you willing to give up for 400,000 deaths? I told you the world, if it's 2 million deaths worldwide, it's 0.03% of the population. There's usually 54 million deaths around the world every year. We don't stop for the other 52 million deaths, but we're going to stop for this 2 million deaths. But Mike, it would have been worse if we didn't do all these things, really, because there's a lot of places that didn't do all these things, and they're just fine. Florida, South Dakota, Sweden. So you can't even make that argument. As the pandemic sends thousands of recovering alcoholics into relapse, hospitals across the country have reported dramatic increases in alcohol-related admissions for critical diseases such as alcoholic hepatitis and liver failure. Nice job, guys. Alcoholism-related liver disease was a growing problem even before the pandemic, with 15 million people diagnosed with the condition around the country and with hospitalizations doubling over the last decade. But the pandemic has dramatically added to the toll. No, the pandemic has not added to anything. There is no side effect of coronavirus, should you get it or be around it, that forces you to drink more. No, the pandemic has not dramatically added to the toll. Our officials' response to the pandemic has dramatically added to the toll. Although national figures are not yet available, admissions for alcohol liver disease at Keck Hospital of USC were up 30% in 2020 compared to 2019. Scientists at hospitals affiliated with the University of Michigan, Northwest University, Harvard University, and Mount Sinai Health Systems in New York City said rates of admissions for alcoholic liver disease have leapt by up to 50% since March. Well, I guess we're not supposed to think about these people. It's all about this one virus, Thomas Dobbs says, this one tiny little microscopic virus that's floating around. That's the only focus we can hold at the same time, right? Who cares if recovering alcoholics now are set back on their butts again? Who cares that 8 million people are in poverty? Who cares that teen suicides are up? Who cares about all this stuff? Mike, it's all about the virus. Because there's only we can only look at one thing at a time, apparently. I did notice last night on the Super Bowl, diabetes has become so big that now they can afford Super Bowl ads. One of the very first ads on the Super Bowl, which I believe are the premium positions, you know, fourth quarter, like last night, a lot of people just tuned out. So your fourth quarter ad, cheaper, not as many eyeballs on it, I guess, in a nail biter. But when's the last time we had a nail biter Super Bowl? I don't know. Maybe we have. I can't remember who won last year. Who cares? But diabetes is so prevalent now that it's a Super Bowl commercial on I've pricked my finger so many times, the pricking your finger is over. We've got so many diabetics out there now. Nobody's doing anything for that. We don't shut down society until we solve this diabetic problem. It's just absolutely stunning in our short-sightedness on this stuff. And the people who are leading us down this road are not going to be held account for the 50% of more hospital admissions for alcoholic liver conditions. Strange. I wonder if those, I don't know, added to the hospitalizations over the past few months. Huh. That's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Maybe all of those hospitalizations they were trying to scare the crap out of us with were things like attempted suicides and alcoholic liver conditions. At least a little portion of them. There was a just a, I mean, I guess this is related. It's vaccine related. It's so sad. I had a young female doctor. She did her tweets on, you know, her, she was 14 weeks pregnant. And she was sending out her tweets on getting the vaccine. A hard time pulling this up where I can actually read it. Let me see if I can. It's not going to let me get this thing up. She sent out two tweets. Essentially, she said she got a picture of herself getting the vaccine just a little while ago, talking about the importance of getting this vaccine and how everybody should get it. And as a medical professional and an expectant mom, she's trying to protect herself and her baby. I don't gloat in that. And so she's got three tweets. She's got one about, I think, the first vaccine, one about the second vaccine, imploring everybody to get out there and get this vaccine. And then her third tweet is about how open she is about her medical condition, and she just wants to let everybody know. Unfortunately, with great sadness, she and her husband have announced the miscarriage of her child. Now, I don't know if those things are connected at all. It's being pointed to that. I believe most people are saying pregnant women should not get this vaccine. So I'm not really sure why this doctor felt the need to get it in the first place, the need to send it, put it out on social media to try to encourage other pregnant women to get it. Because I think the own guidance on these vaccines is this is not for anybody who is pregnant or considering becoming pregnant. That she got it and then she ended up losing the child. Absolutely, absolutely sad. There was also this other story that I ran across, which is just the path we're on is just so gross. Again, we're so soft. We just don't take any risks whatsoever. We've been convinced that if there's anything out there that could potentially be harmful for us, we got to sit that out. This country of innovators and explorers and conquerors and everything else. Now we're just sitting around waiting for nature to fix itself. We're waiting for Bill Gates to harness nature and set us all free. I saw this headline today, virtual reality tourism ready for takeoff as travelers remain grounded. Now, here's the sub-headline that's really kind of the depressing part about it. Virtual reality, there's a lot of places in the world I would love to see that I may never get to. I hope I can start traveling again soon. But it would be kind of cool to be able to go in and get some kind of an immersive experience for some place that I may not have the time to get to at some point, but that's not what they're planning. Experts say pandemic could provide watershed moment for technology, potentially leading to more, and here it comes, sustainable tourism. They're going to try to take even your experiences of travel and discovering other parts of the world and immersing yourself in other cultures. They're going to take that and just reduce it to a digital experience. Just a virtual reality thing. And more sustainable, too. You know, you're not junking up the atmosphere with all that jet fuel exhaust. Oh, yeah, this is much better. The pandemic has provided us this opportunity to set a new, more sustainable path. You don't need to be traveling and actually going places and having your own experiences. You can just put on the Oculus goggles, sit in your home, let your food be delivered to you, and taking your vacations from your couch by yourself, alone, in a set of goggles. This is a dystopian future that is going to continue to make more progress the longer we let these control freaks keep us down with this pandemic and the many mutants that are coming our way. Just be forewarned. Those of you participating in this, you are leading your own self into some kind of further into the digital gulag. It's so gross. I have no interest in foregoing actual traveling experiences with others to immerse myself in any kind of new culture with new sights to see, and instead opting for a pair of goggles in a virtual experience. But they're going to try to force us that way.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Apparently there was some outrage at Tom Brady yesterday because he showed up at the game without a mask. Didn't have a mask on. Some people were calling it racist because a lot of the black players are wearing a mask, but they think Tom Brady thinks he's... I mean, good Lord. I've got a story. I haven't read it yet, but it talks about the relentless quest for fitness this 43-year-old starting quarterback Tom Brady has done. Tom Brady does more for his health by the time he wakes up in the morning than most people do over a decade. And you want to judge him for not wearing a mask. This guy has kept himself in peak physical condition for, what, 30 years from high school till now of playing football at an extremely elite level. Every single day he's paying attention to his health. And a bunch of typical Americans probably shoving junk food down their pie hole sit there and comment on him not wearing a mask. It's surreal to think that he is actually the problem. And, of course, some of the Tampa Bay fans went out last night maskless and celebrated. I don't know. I don't think I know anybody who is attending the University of Alabama or lives in Tuscaloosa right now. But how widespread were the deaths after the maskless celebrations after Alabama won the national title? I mean, Tuscaloosa's population must be down by 30 or 40%. I mean, it seems to make sense, right? All of those Alabama fans out celebrating after the national championship with no mask? Surely a bunch of them died, right? Has to be. Strange, I haven't seen any stories about that. I didn't even see any stories of Tuscaloosa being overwhelmed with their emergency rooms and hospitalizations. Some Twitter user, I'm telling you, Twitter is so harmful for the United States. It just spreads some of the worst ideas. So, Molly Jong Fast has got a picture of the maskless celebrations in Tampa Bay, and she has a video of it on her Twitter, and she says, Florida is going to kill us all. Florida, which has had better results with almost no restrictions than most other states that have had the most stringent restrictions, and it's Florida is going to kill them all. Actually, they're all dying in New York.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. Thank you for joining me. I spend a lot of time on this show talking about financial stuff. One of the reasons is not many other people do it. So there may be a small sliver of people who are interested in these things, but also due to the fact that about 98% of the American public is really economically illiterate. You know, you can look at the left, you can look at things like universal basic income, and if you're a conservative, you look at these things and it feels like socialism to you, and you've seen socialism not work all around the world. And it's pretty easy to point out that we probably don't want a government that is just paying everybody something when we don't have any money. You know we're insolvent. You've seen the debt clock. And You understand we don't have the money. And so conservatives rightly understand that the government cannot support an entire population of takers. There's not enough wealth at the tippy top. If you stripped them of every nickel they had, it would not support a nation of people on checks. So it's pretty easy for conservatives to see that. I'm not sure why the left believes that that's somehow doable. They all think that somehow if you take enough of Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett's money, then they can fund everything they want to do. I mean, everything. Free college, universal basic income, $15 minimum wage. I mean, just everything. And again, it's because they're economically illiterate. And I like a lot of liberals, a lot of good-hearted people out there. They just don't have any economic understanding. But on the right, you got people who cheer for trillion-dollar defense budgets, and they don't realize that that trillion-dollar nation debt-wrecking ball system is more of a threat to your way of life than any other country out there, including China. And so conservatives cheer for that. They want to reduce debts and spending, but they want to build more prisons. They want to spend another couple of $1 trillion of the war on drugs. So most people do not understand economics at all. And it's been pretty easy to ignore because of all the shenanigans that have been coming in our financial system, the rigging, the money printing, these kinds of things, but they don't last forever. And I submit, as almost a thesis of this show constantly, everything you see, the dissatisfaction with people, the anger when it comes to politics, the anger in the streets, whether it's Black Lives Matter or Trump supporters or anybody, the anger that we see right now is all rooted in economics. And I'm going to kind of prove that, I think, in just a second, by giving you some statistics that are just jaw-dropping. And to think that people still line up between the two parties that got us to where we are right now is laughable. It is absolutely laughable. And I got started on this looking at a couple of articles I read this weekend, and I'm going to give you another quote of the day. This is from Stanley Druckenmiller. He is one of the biggest investors in America. He's one of these CNBC. He's a Wall Street elite guy, but he makes a lot of sense a lot of times. And he had something. I saw the headline. He said this is the – I can't remember if he said this is the wildest market he's ever seen. But he said this just doesn't make sense. This is a guy that invests for his entire lifetime. And he said this, and some of the statistics that he laid out are just absolutely stunning. Quote, the recession we had was 5 times the average since World War II, but it occurred in 25% of the time. He added that, quote, more bizarrely, in a year when 11 million more people were unemployed, we had the largest increase in personal income in 20 years during an economic downturn due to massive policy support. And by policy support, he means money printing. We're just printing up money. And again, this is why people are economically illiterate and uninterested. I'm sure these maybe aren't my most popular segments. You'd rather hear me talk about Nancy Pelosi and the folly of impeachment, although that matters none to you and will matter nothing at all to your children. But that's where all the attention will go today and this week. Druckenmiller goes on to say, the CARES Act added trillions in fiscal stimulus. How big was it? In 3 months in 2020, we increased the deficit more than the past 5 recessions combined. 1973, 1975, 1982, the early 90s, the dot-com bust, and the great financial crisis. In 3 months in 2020, we increased the deficit more than the past 5 recessions combined. The Fed, and this is again, this is from Stanley Druckenmiller, the Fed in 6 weeks bought more treasuries than in 10 years under Bernanke and Yellen. In 6 weeks, the Federal Reserve printed up money and handed it out, bought bonds, essentially loaned the federal government more phony money, more in 6 weeks than the previous 10 years. Corporate borrowing, which almost always goes down in a recession, which had already increased from $6 trillion to $10 trillion going into the crisis due to the Fed's free money policies, went up $400 billion. Putting that in perspective, it went down by $500 billion during the great financial crisis. Actually, I think GFC is global financial crisis. Our financial system is on its head right now. And this is going to end. I can't tell you how badly this is going to end. And all of the talk about impeachment and all of the talk about what politicians you like or you don't like and who are the patriots and who are the socialists, and all, it doesn't matter at all. None of it matters. Your children will never suffer the consequences of who was in office today, of any of the personalities that everybody talks about. Like, it's just like a different kind of Hollywood narration to me. It's like gossip news. Yes, AOC is terrible. Yes, Nancy Pelosi is terrible. If Nancy Pelosi gets hit by a truck tomorrow, somebody else terrible will take her place. If Mitch McConnell goes away, some other establishment Republican. You've got Roger Wicker out there wanting to give $160 billion that he doesn't have. He's not cutting anything that I saw. He didn't say we're going to take it from somewhere else. He just wants to give $160 billion to the restaurant industry. Of course, the restaurant industry is hurting because of people like him. Politicians are the reason that the restaurant industry is hurting in the first place. I'm going to take a break real quick, and then I'm going to come back with some of these statistics about wage growth over the past 50 years. And I've spent 4 years now talking about this two-party system and how much it's ripped us off and duped us and has got you people focusing on the wrong thing. Just absolutely the wrong thing. Always keeping you paying attention to the political theater and not looking at what's actually happening. We're 50 years in now. This is not going to end well. And so hopefully people, if you do listen to the show, you leave at least understanding something a little bit better than you did before. Maybe pulling you a little bit further out of the gossip TV narration of Sean Hannity. And because Sean Hannity is not ever going to talk about the economics, the underpinnings of the economics in this country, which assures that Sean Hannity listeners will never get understand exactly what's happening. Ditto on the left. None of the left people, they'll talk endlessly about Donald Trump, but they won't tell you about how the system has been carved out for the wealthy for 50 years under Democrats and Republicans. They'll never tell people that. They'll just tell you it's all about racism. It's all about sexism. It's all about the patriarchy. And so this little corner that I've got carved out here on weekday mornings will attempt to let you know you're all being screwed by the same people. Your liberal neighbor or your Trump-supporting neighbor is not the problem. You can scream at them all you want. It'll get you absolutely bumpus.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I'm not entirely sure why I do these financial segments, because I know that most people, it's dry and you don't understand it, and it's not as sexy as talking about our team versus blue team, red team versus blue team stuff. But it's like somebody has to do it, it feels like to me. I watched 4 years of people thinking that Donald Trump was the key to our economy because he talked about bringing jobs back to the United States, and he started talking about the China problem. Agreed, that's legitimate stuff. He talked a lot about that. But people don't understand that by him also jawboning the Federal Reserve to take interest rates back down to zero, printing endless amounts of money and running up monster debts, he was washing away any new factory jobs that came to the United States. Anything else he was doing with regards to China or anything like that was completely counteracted by keeping a money printing machine in full speed. But people don't see that. See, they don't, because Sean Hannity doesn't tell you anything about the Federal Reserve, and Rush Limbaugh doesn't tell you about the Federal Reserve and how this will be what destroys the United States. And I'm going to give you some statistics over the last 50 years to show you how it's already working. Everybody knows the middle class is gone or disappearing. I won't say it's not gone. Everybody knows that's happening, but you just think it's just China. Just like China came over here with some kind of a crane and started lifting our businesses and taking them to China. And so if we just tackle China, we'll fix all of our problems. And China was just a symptom of this financialization of our society with this addiction to debt and money printing. And that is what will come home to roost on this country. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 10 years. My children are not going to escape it. They're 19 years old. They will not escape this. I've been wrong about this. I thought for 6 years that this thing was going to fall apart. I've been stunned at what they've gotten away with. So don't listen to me on timing at all. But those of you out there that think that Iran is this great threat to the United States that needs to be tackled, all you're doing is saddling this country with more debt to face more foreign boogeymen. I mean, it's so funny to me, you know, their response to 9/11. I mean, the terrorists got it right. It had nothing to do with any buildings or the deaths that occurred on 9/11. No, they sent us on a war just like we did with the Soviets back in the 70s. They're bankrupting us. And the Americans are cheering for it. I mean, it's almost genius. They knew they only had to strike once, start this global war on terror. Look at the Americans. They're cheering for trillion-dollar budgets, for national security budgets, because we've got them so scared. And now they'll destroy themselves. We don't have to do anything else. We can just sit back and watch. And that's what they're doing. Early 1970s, the American worker, people who actually go to jobs, get paid in salaries, those kinds of things, the vast majority of people at the bottom 90%. Now, a lot of people will hear this stuff and go, oh, he sounds like some kind of a Democrat for the... No. This is about, I constantly say we need to quit talking about the top 1% and start talking about the 0.01% that have had their way with us. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. It's pretty stunning statistics. But the share of GDP, the shares of the gross domestic income of this country in compensation to employees and wages and salaries and stuff. Back in the early 1970s, Americans enjoyed about 51.5% of our gross domestic income went to salary earners. Since that time, it is now down around 43%. We've lost about 10 percentage points of where the money that comes into the United States from all business activities goes. Now, a lot of that goes to, you know, cost of goods sold, these kinds of things. But as far as wages, it used to be around 53%. Now it's around 43% and headed lower. This is one of the reasons that people don't understand. This is why there's agitation in the streets. Somebody will always come around and point you to some other reason, you know, point you to another person. It's the Muslims' fault. It's the Chinese' fault. It's the white people's fault. There's always pimps out there that will come out there and try to get you to not pay attention to what I'm talking about now and convince you to see some foreign adversary, some other group of people that is screwing you over. But I want you to listen to these wage growth statistics since 2002. This was 2002 to 2012. And this is a Wall Street Journal thing, just showing you exactly what happened, particularly heading into, you know, out of the dot-com bubble and into the financial crisis, where they really decided to turn on the money printing. And that's why we've gotten more agitated since the financial crisis. It's not because racism is worse. It's not because some external influence. It is exactly what's happening at the seats of power, particularly with the money elites here. So this was a 10-year look at growth and income. The bottom 90% during that period of time from 2010 to 2012, and this is accelerated. I just don't have an updated chart for how this has worked out. Now, this past year, income actually went up for Americans strictly because they printed up a bunch and handed it out to everybody. You know, if you sent $2,000 out to a family that's only making $40,000, well, their income just went up 5%. Easy peasy, right? You just print it up, send it out. But during this change from 2002 to 2012, as they really started cranking up the money printing, so this is a new phenomenon. This is not the way it's been before in this country. We've never had, no country in the history of planet Earth has done the experiment we're doing right now, save countries like maybe Zimbabwe, and I'm not sure if the mechanics were still the same with them. So during 2002 to 2012, the bottom 90% of the public lost 10.7% of their income. These are all inflation-adjusted numbers. We all know that you lose purchasing power every single year to inflation, which is a direct result of all this money printing. So during the 2002 to 2012, during that 10 years, the bottom 90% lost 10.7% of their income. Now the top 10% to 5%. During that period of time, they gained 2.6% in income. Now, this is that top 10%. Actually, not that difficult in this country to get into the top 10% of wage earners. These are people who are successful professional people, working couples that have done well and just worked hard. So they got 2.6% bump in their after inflation income. The top 5% to the top 1%, they got 6.1%. Already you can see the difference. The bottom 90%, again, this is why I'm telling you, our society at large is so agitated. It has nothing to do with just with Trump or just with racism or police violence. I mean, none of these things. These are all symptoms of a, you know, they're trigger points. They just take an already dissatisfied people. And most people don't really understand what's wrong. You just kind of, we just kind of see that the middle class feels like the middle class is under pressure. We just don't understand why. And so when some event comes up that already that taps into that rage we've had, it explodes into these different protest movements. It explodes into hatred online. It explodes into people screaming at each other on social media. It's an underlying unease and agitation that is endemic of a declining empire for the vast majority of the people. So here we go. So the top 1% to 0.05%, okay, so this is the bottom half of the top 1%. During this 10-year period of time, their incomes went up 11.3%. For the top half of the top 1%, 0.5 to 0.1%, their incomes went up 18.2%. Are you starting to see when the Fed prints money? And again, Trump encouraged the Federal Reserve to print a bunch of money. So he can go out there and talk about Carrier air conditioners trying to move their plant down to Mexico and try to shame them into moving back up here. But at the same time, if he's telling the Fed to print up more money, then this is where it's flowing. So now we're at the top 0.01%. Again, the top 0.01% got 29.25% increase in income. Actually, this is the top 0.1 to 0.01. 29. Again, the bottom 90% during this period of time lost almost 11% of their income. The top 0.1% got 30% more. And here's the kicker here. Again, the bottom 90% of Americans, but from 2002 to 2012, and look, the money printing has gotten worse from there. These statistics will come out for the next decade, 2012 to 2022, and this is going to repeat itself again. The bottom 90% lost 11% of their income. The top 0.01% saw their income grow 76.2%. Let's say that again. The bottom 90% during this decade of money printing and layering on debt and the Federal Reserve slashing interest rates and giving out free money to the elites, the bottom 90% of Americans, so what is that? Around 300 million Americans lost 11% of their income while the 0.01% saw their income go up almost a doubling. 76.2% went up 0.75%. I mean, 0.75% to a double. And these things should be the way, it's that people don't understand this stuff is the problem that I have and why I talk about it on this show. The Rand Corporation did a document looking at some of this stuff. They found that $50 trillion has been siphoned from labor, the lowest 90% of the workforce, to the financial aristocracy. This is trends in income from 1975 to 2018. $50 trillion has been taken from the, and I talk about this a lot. Another one of the things I took great exception to Donald Trump about, and anybody else who supports this stuff or ignores it, which is the Republican Party, which is Sean Hannity, which is Rush Limbaugh, because they had to cheer everything that Donald Trump said. When Donald Trump said, take interest rates to zero, I told you immediately then what was happening. All of the American savers out there, particularly our senior citizens who need to invest in things like CDs, some stable things, they're getting 0.5% on their savings where they used to get 5%. And the financial elites used to have to pay 5% to borrow money. Now they're only paying 0.5% to borrow money. It was a huge wealth transfer from the savers, that bottom 90% of people who use little savings accounts and buy the occasional CDs and use money market checking accounts. All of that money that they would have earned all went to the financial elites. And this has happened under Trump, under Obama, under Bush, under Clinton. The parties do not matter. This decline, again, of the bottom 90% of this country, which is leading to the agitation and the social problems we're seeing, is being orchestrated and facilitated from the top down. Doesn't matter what party. Within the workforce, wages have shifted to the top 10% who now own 50% of all taxable income. And it used to be significantly lower than that. Again, these are those trends that people need to understand, because you are not going to solve it by reelecting Cindy Hyde Smith. You need to be asking her, why do y'all keep printing up all this free money and giving it to the corporations to buy back their own stock, to juice their stock options? Why do you keep manipulating the cost of money, which is really what printing money does? But nobody will ask her those things, because they don't understand it, number one. Again, it goes back to real economic illiteracy. And the problem is, it's like, you know, it's just seeing this bus coming straight at us. We're seeing the end of the road, the cliff that we're all careening off of. And I look at this bus. We're all on the same bus together. And one side of the bus is fighting with the other side of the bus. I'm looking through the front windshield saying, excuse me, guys. But they're so busy screaming at each other, nobody is paying attention to the end of the road that is right in front of us. It's difficult stuff to do on air, to be honest with you. I try to make it interesting. Maybe I need to find a funny way to do it. Maybe I need to come up with some kind of a comedy routine about what's happening to this country. Because, again, we're all on this same bus, screaming at each other as we go over the cliff. You're still going to end up at the bottom. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I wanted to talk a little bit about, too, I was really fascinated by the GameStop situation in the markets from a couple of weeks ago. It fizzled out pretty quick, but now there's some more microcaps, meaning teeny tiny stocks that are trading heavily again, some in shorted names like we talked about before, and some in illiquid shares, which means there it's easier to move the market if there aren't a whole lot of shares or the shares aren't moving much. So they're still kind of batting it around a little bit. But I said at the time this thing was going on, I was really interested to know who was behind it, because I'm not an idiot. I liked the fact that everybody kind of piled on and it hurt some of the hedge funds that had been, you know, doing some of their shenanigans, taking all this tremendous amount of risk And it just always works out for them because even when the risk goes bad, they've gotten bailed out before, so they've just become more emboldened. Again, this goes back to my previous segment. It's the money printing that has facilitated all this risk taking by Wall Street. Republicans bailed out Wall Street. Democrats bailed out Wall Street. And that's why people call it the Uniparty. But I knew that there were people that were smart enough that this was not just some populist uprising. Populists definitely played a part in it. I mean, you got a lot of Robin Hood traders, a bunch of small investors with their stimmies. Oh, hurts my stomach every time I say that. The nickname for stimulus checks that everybody's so used to getting now. I guess it'll be, when we're socialist, we'll just be socies. So I liked kind of the attack and the idea that people were upsetting the apple cart of these Wall Street titans who had been able to play their game unimpeded. And I loved watching the freak out by some of the Wall Streeters. How dare the little people do this to us? We've lost a lot of money. I like the fact that Citadel was inconvenienced by this thing. And I that may be as far as it goes, just an inconvenience. Because, look, Citadel is at that trough of freshly printed money. They ain't going out of business. But if they lost a little bit of money and took a little bit of heat and had some uncomfortable days, that's good for me. But I've always wondered who was behind it. Knowing that these things, it's pretty hard to spontaneously just get a bunch of people to do it. But I'm not a Redditor or any of these things. So, you know, these message boards, I don't get caught up in a bunch of groupthink. I just found it fascinating watching it from the outside. Well, we've got some news, some reporting going on as to maybe some other people that were able to make a little bit of money on the GameStop situation, and we may have found some culprits, although we don't know for sure, behind kind of the run-up in this thing. There's a hedge fund known as Senvest Management, S-E-N-V-E-S-T, Senvest Management. While everybody was considering themselves sticking it to the suits in the hedge fund world, the Senvest Management may have been one of the people behind the whole GameStop movement. And here's a little bit of a timeline around what Senvest Management did as they netted about $700 million on GameStop's run higher. And I've also said on this GameStop stuff, what I knew was going to be sad, although I liked the sentiment of everybody kind of piling into this one stock to run it up, to hurt these Wall Street banks that had overshorted the stock. I knew that there were going to be a lot of people in that mob that just weren't sophisticated enough to know if you made some money, you need to get out. They took it as a kind of a rallying cry to hold on to it. And Senvest Management did not hold on. That's how they netted $700 million. And the story of Senvest Management is interesting because last year they started taking a position in GameStop. Again, GameStop was not lighting anything on fire in the market. They were really kind of in a dying industry. Whether they were pivoting towards digital delivery, I really don't know that much, but they were like the Blockbuster of video games, brick and mortar stores that were being kind of marginalized by digital delivery of new video games that they couldn't capitalize on back when they could capitalize on having to go to a store and buy the disc and trade in your system and all that. But last year, this Senvest principals, Richard Marshall and Brian Gonick, started buying GameStop stock equity in September of last year. They ended up accumulating 3.6 million shares of GameStop, and it was their fund's largest holding. Now, this is odd. Again, GameStop wasn't set to announce some big move, some new transition of their business model. They weren't really on the radar of a bunch of people of being this breakout stock from some new technology or anything along those lines. And this Senvest Capital was actually busily accumulating it to it became their biggest holding. And the funny thing is about it is some of the things that took up place last year. Let me get down here to in this story. They went around and started pitching the idea of GameStop. After they made their accumulation, got their position established in GameStop, they went around to some of the people who do online blogs and stuff and saying, hey, everybody might want to look at GameStop. There's heavy short interest in it, meaning if it goes up, it could really go up because the short people will have to cover. So they started doing this, and they got a couple of stories published about this that piqued a few more people's interest. Again, they were already positioned in this stock. But then there was an article on Reddit. Somebody posted to Reddit. And when was this? This may have been last. It was definitely last year after they took this big position. This is a post that was made to Redditors. Sup, gamblers? Feel bad about missing the gain train on Tesla? Fear not. Something much greater and stupider is here. You know, Citadel, the market maker, they say MM, that took all our money today? Well, now we finally won't be at the mercy of the MMs. Instead, we're going to temporarily join forces with the Galactic Empire and hijack the Death Star. And then this post on Reddit goes into more of this. This turnaround is going to make Tesla's short burn look like a warm afternoon tea. Why? Well, most short squeezes are mostly math. This one is special because we have the math and great underlying news. To be clear, this will happen whether or not we participate. I prefer us idiots to be part of history. Here's what's up. And they go into talking about GameStop currently has between 85 and 98% short interest, depending on which site you use. For context, 20% is already considered high as the moon. So this Redditor went on, strangely enough, at the exact same time that Cinvest was finishing up its purchase to make GameStop their largest holding, and then suddenly somebody goes to the message boards and starts pumping this stock, starting to rally the case for busting apart these shorts. Before that, these two guys at Cinvest had been on the wrong end of the short squeeze at Cinvest. They had done these kinds of things before, but they didn't have the assets to make these things happen themselves, and so they weren't able to move the stock enough to get the big gains. But as soon as this Cinvest Capital, Cinvest Management, I guess is the name of their thing, as soon as they went onto these boards and started pumping this thing and got the rest of the Robin Hooders along with them, they finally were able to accomplish what they had not accomplished with these other companies, which was shoot GameStop to the moon, and they walked away with $700 million. Now, some Redditors made money. Some little people made money. Some little people made a lot of money and then lost a lot of money. And if they're still holding right now, they're losing even more money. Last I heard, GameStop was trading down around 50. It is probably a $15 to $20 stock based on the fundamentals of GameStop itself. And it feels like that game in that particular stock is over. Whether they try to do it again, I don't know. There's not as much short interest in the stock, so it probably wouldn't be as profitable. But it is quite a coincidence that this one company, Cinvest, went in and made GameStop their largest holding. And as soon after they made it their largest holding, all these messages started appearing on social media, on Reddit in particular, giving a great strategy of a way to run this up and really stick it to Wall Street. And when you look back behind the scenes, you realize, well, it was probably one of these Wall Street hedge funds that was leading the charge in the first place. We should not be surprised. Not at all. But it just leads more to this bizarro world we live in where nothing is as it appears.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I only got a few seconds, a few minutes left here in the hour, so I'm going to kind of say something. This show is about nuance, which is very difficult to do in today's society. You know, people want to believe that hedge funds are all good or hedge funds are all bad. Most people just want to believe that hedge funds are all bad, that Wall Street is all bad. There's a lot of people who say things like, well, you know, these people, they don't create anything. Well, there's some truth to that, but that's really, if you think about it, a lot of businesses don't necessarily create anything. You know, their employment agencies do a great job of helping people find work. help employers find suitable employees, but they don't really create anything. I mean, the company's creating the job. They're just moving people from one to another. So I try not to fall into listening to any kind of overarching things that supposedly, if it's an easy talking point or something like that, it's usually not accurate, and it's casting too big of a net. And short sellers got a really bad rep on GameStop. Now, what they were doing on GameStop was incredibly risky. I don't know how much of that would actually be illegal, what they were doing. I get a little lost. You know, I mean, the rules are carved out for Wall Street, so it probably wasn't illegal, but it certainly was unwise, and they got spanked for it. I like that. They've been gaming the system for a long, long, long time. But the idea of short sellers being bad people also gained a lot of traction, or that all hedge funds are bad people. Look, there's a lot of people out there doing good things, and in the short sellers, I talked about it when this was happening, that don't just cast people who sell stock short as just automatically across the board bad guys. And I ran across a story last week I didn't have time to get to, but I'll talk about it now. There's a group, and this is the kind of business I'd love to be in. Essentially, they're whistleblowers, but they make a ton of money doing it. So sometimes I'm sure that, you know, there's abuses of this or whatever, but what happens is sometimes companies go public or, you know, raise a lot of money, their stock gets high, or the valuations get high on something, and short sellers will snoop around in these things and find out if any of them are committing fraud, and they'll blow the whistle on them. There's a group called Hindenburg Research, and they now are blowing the whistle on, most recently they did a short call on, they went short Nikola Motors, another one of the EV, electrical vehicle manufacturers that's supposed to rival Tesla, and you know, they did some show of a semi truck working completely on electric power, and I think it was Hindenburg that pointed out they're actually rolling down a hill. It's not actually doing, and they got to the bottom of it. So Nikola puts out this press release showing how their great new electric semi truck to try to get people to invest in Nikola Motors to make their stock go up, to make their value go up, to make them wealthier. And then some of these short sellers do some investigation and say, hey, the numbers don't look so good. And that truck was actually rolling down a hill. And they busted them. And Nikola, I believe, had to come out and say, yeah, it was self-powered, but it was really gravity that was making this thing move. This Hindenburg Research is now going after a group called Clover Health. And I don't have time to get into the whole story of this thing, but essentially what they've done is they've gone out there and they smell a rat. This group goes out and does their research, tries to find out companies that are misleading people, and then warn the public about them. And in the meantime, they go in and short the stock. That's how they get paid to be whistleblowers. They are actually sometimes the last line of defense. Our government, the SEC, is not going to uncover any criminality. They're playing the game. They're usually run by Wall Street insiders. They were under Donald Trump, and they are again under Joe Biden. I've already talked about the people who are running the SEC. So it's kind of like trial attorneys. You know, there was a lot of hate on trial attorneys years and years ago, and I joined in on it, thought they were just scum of the earth. And then I started noticing, well, there are a lot of corporations doing a lot of bad things. The government's not doing anything about it. The agencies that are in charge of, you know, things like the big banks or the pharmaceutical companies, they're not punishing these groups. Trial attorneys seem to be. And of course, there's abuses in the trial attorneys world. But in some of the big cases, trial attorneys were kind of the last line in the sand. They were the only ones that would stop some of the biggest corporate abuses. And these short sellers are another one. Hindenburg, talking about this Clover, they are alerting people to right off the bat that Clover is currently in the midst of this is while people are out pumping the stock on this company, talking about how great it's going to be, and they've got a couple of celebrities kind of pushing their stuff, not Hollywood celebrities, but Wall Street celebrities, out there pumping them up, pumping up Clover. But Hindenburg comes out and says, I don't know if anybody noticed, but Clover is currently in the midst of a Department of Justice investigation because of its business practices. And they share with everybody a copy of the subpoena that was issued in conjunction with the department's investigation, was obviously not widely known. They continue to do so. What they will do is they will take a position against the stock, and they just think to themselves, well, look, this company is essentially a fraud in one way or another. They're misleading the public in one way or another. We're going to take a short interest in the stock, meaning we're going to bet that it goes down, and then we're going to alert the public to it. Is that wrong? I mean, they're going to make a ton of money off of it. I mean, I guess they could just do it out of the goodness of their hearts. But if you had knowledge that a company was doing something fraudulent or illegal or misrepresenting itself or misleading investors, if you knew about that and you took a lot of time and expended a lot of resources to research exactly what was going on, do you not feel like maybe you should make some money on the way down too while doing a service? And I say all that just to say that we paint with an awfully broad brush here. It doesn't matter, not here on this show, but in our country. And it doesn't matter what it is. All Trump supporters are Nazis. All Democrats are demoncrats. We just like these simple little narratives. Let us get through life without thinking too hard. And the fact of the matter is, you have to really kind of dive into things to decide, you know, who's doing what and who's responsible for what. And you'll actually find the actual bad players that deserve the scorn. And in these cases, the short sellers, I think, provide a good service to the people by blowing the whistles on some of these. Are they doing it just out of, you know, would they do it if they weren't making any money? I doubt it. Not many of people that I know do things that they don't make some money off of as a way to provide for themselves. But just piling on and trying to paint everything with a broad brush, I think, is extremely dangerous. And I think that this just feels like one of those things I would love to have done. If I could do it all over again, short selling and blowing the whistle on big corporate abuses or just lies or misrepresentations, if I could have found out about Bernie Madoff and how he was screwing people over and could have somehow shorted his fund, then I certainly would have gotten ahead of it. And I think I would have been on the side of the angels. I got to go. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.